I'd venture to read to you the 29th verse, verse 29. In chapter 4, the Gospel by John, chapter 4, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? My friends, there's a great secret, and no man, no person on this earth can ever enter into it. Not even the children of God who have a hope that they're not strangers to covenant love. Do you see what that is, that secret? It is this. Is when he finds out his children. Oftentimes he hides the purpose of his grace, to make it better known. And my friend, often, those who profess that he has, by his matchless grace, stayed them in the way, would not look upon others that God has called. What a mercy. I have felt that many, many, many times, that the calling of his own elect children is in the hands of Christ and Christ only. And so it was in this case. Here was a voice. And who did that, where and who was the person that this voice came from? The Samaritan. One that the Jews had nothing to do with. One that came to the well of Jacob with a pot to fill with the water from the well. One that had five husbands and now living in sin with another one. And a Samaritan. That the disciples wondered why he had to do with them. That secret was known in heaven, in the councils of eternity, before that woman was ever born. And the moment and the time came, and the need, there was a special need. And the foundation of that need lay here. Her name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why. That lay in the bosom of the Father, a very special need. And however a black that character was, while in the ruins of the world, however ignorant she was of a precious Christ, the time had come, and not a moment before, not a moment after, when they should see the Lord Jesus Christ and not know him. And that he should be older and knower. That was the difference. Oh, my friends, you can never hide anything from Jesus Christ. He penetrates into the deepest recesses of your actions, thoughts, and words. So he knoweth all things. Before whose eyes everything is open and bare. He must needs go through Samaria. I remember once, I just speak of it. There was a minister taken ill that used to come to Oxford years ago. He never asked the church. He never wrote to the people to know whether this man could come. There was no time to do any of that. He simply took hold of a godly minister who had no services that Sunday, and he said, "Go to Oxford, I can't go. I can't go myself. I'm not well enough." Oh, some would say that's not in order. God don't stoop down to ask his people what he's about to do. And I will tell you this, it's all in order what he does, and perfect order too. But he was tried. He was coming to a strange place and strange people. And he had these words, our beautiful, when Christ speaks. May he speak to you. It's an heavenly, divine, and sacred power. But yet these words, he must needs go through Samaria. Well, you say, what's that to do with Oxford? Everything. Everything. The Lord had spoken it. It was the means of bringing me to baptism. He never knew me. Never seen me. He must needs go through. You know, it's living water. It's not that which you cannot drink and live upon. It's that you can. And it's the waters of life. And when that life attends his sacred word, you have a voice from Jesus. And through him, and enters into the never dying soul. Now I love that man. He never knew me, you know, that night. He never knew me, God did. Oh, he never makes a mistake. So you see, dear friends, I've been thinking of these things. And it says he comes to the city. And it's a mercy when he do come to a city. And when he comes to a town. When he comes to a village. When he comes to take and to separate one for himself for a vast eternity. Oh, think of it. It's not one that tries to convert themselves. No. It's when he comes to. And you know, my dear friends, we never know who he will come to till he comes. Till he visits. They will know. When he reveals himself to them. Here is a sinner called by grace, says, come. Come see a man. I would there were thousands of them today that are buried in our knowledge of this precious Christ. And it comes very close to ourselves as he come to you or to me. As he instilled by his precious Spirit in your soul that time after he separated you for himself, that you had to go forth under the power of that Holy Spirit and say, come to those around and see this man. Will you say, what's that? Water. Living water. The living Spirit of Christ. And you might hide it under a bushel. You might try to keep quiet and let nobody know about it. But you can't do that, my friends. The time will come, and God's own time, sooner or later, when you have to go forth and tell others, come, she says, and see it. Come and see it. You say, can you always tell a living Christ? Always free. Because there's a peculiar power with it. And by the very sound of it, we know it never come from the flesh. It's a work of God. A satisfaction of one that would never know Jesus if Jesus had never been revealed to them. There's no chance. There's no chance in God calling his dear people. We never know. One may come into the house of God where he worship. One might have a few words in the street or appeal to another that knows not God. And that might be the place. That might be the person. Oh, it's so sad, my friend. Perhaps that one that speak would never think, never have a thought, that you are speaking to would be brought to know them. That's how the chapel at Old Deal was born. A man, a stranger to all, who had the love of God in his heart, when arrested by the power of the Spirit. And such was the power of saving love that he stood up in the street and told anyone passing by what it was. Come. Come, God had put it there. And a few little friends meeting in a little place heard him speaking. And they said, we have a blessed confirmation, come and help us. You're one of the Lord's. And from that row arose the two places at Old Deal. The large schoolroom in the back, which was the first chapel, and the chapel in the front. And that's how it came. Through one's breaking in the street, he had the means and he used it. And God honored it. Ah, my friend. Come. Well, this woman would never have said that thousands of times probably in her brief life, she'd taken that vessel to fill and took it back with the water from the well and no more, and lived a life of sin. We must not judge another. By their fruits, he says, ye shall know them, but not judge them. He's the judge of all the earth. No, it never means another judge to take his place. Never. The days of the judges, when he gave them power, is over. Christ is alone to take vengeance on all of his thous that love him not. He sat there. What? Sitting down on that well, yes, there was a great need. And you say, what was that need then? A soul to be saved. Think of it. A soul to be saved. We carry an ever-dying soul, whether you are conscious of it or not, that will be either saved or lost. And the power of it lays here. He has to die, become the victim by the will of the Father to put away the sin of everyone he saves. What it needs be. My friend, he first of all dug very deep with a spade of conviction, and very deep. He told her a lie. Perhaps she thought very few knew all her life. He did. And the man thou livest with now is not thy husband. Go and fetch him before he told her that. Go and fetch him. Ah, my friend. Conviction deeply in that sinner. And no ground to stand on, had she? He could have sinned her with no hope that mercy could come. And she couldn't say that he wasn't just. But now, oh, how sweet he speaks. If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to ye, give me to drink. Very nice, wasn't it? Very sweet way of coming to this poor, real sinner. Oh, if thou knewest. If you only knew who I am, that is now speaking to you, that is now sitting upon this well, and who said to you, give me to drink? Thou wouldst have asked of him. Me would have given thee living water. Have you any silent moments? Any hidden moments? Any secret places? Where you powerful, you know the source from whence that heavenly peace will flow. You know the source where the waters of eternal life, if it only give you a sip. Well, I would say to any hidden one like that, you're a blessed character. He never let that woman go till he blessed her soul. And she never let him go till she said, come see a man. That's what we want to see today. Jesus sent 70 disciples to preach the gospel, and there were signs following, proving that he sent them. And that's what we want to see. Not as we can put a hand to it. No. The woman, first of all, felt she could do nothing. How could she draw water? And how could he draw the water? Because the well was too deep for that. And she was brought to inquire, to ask the way, with thy paces thitherward, speaking it in Isaiah. That's a seeking soul. There may be many, even among the pews, if we gathered them all together, that are asking and seeking from the Lord secretly what this woman desired to know. It was a mystery. It was the kingdom of his grace. And a touch of his mercy touched that woman's soul. And he just separated her in knowledge he was to give her, that it was very, very different to the water she was going to take home that she'd come to draw. And the comparison was very great, so that the water that he would give her would spring up into everlasting life, and that is, there'd be no end to it. Refreshes, it comforts, it satisfies. It flows into the new self. And my friends, it makes known to that soul there's a precious Christ. And they are not strangers unto it. And when it well opened our soul, and given her a thirst for living water, he's satisfied. He'd not met her where they worshipped. If they worshipped at Jerusalem, or whether they worshipped where she did in the mountains, it was how they worship, and if they worship God. And he swept her from all false religion. Ye know not what ye worship. You don't know it. But we know what we worship. And so will you, if you have any, God has anything to do with you. I hope he does. I hope he does, my friends. That mighty work which is commenced will never end till he has made himself to be your Savior. You might seek him now, the day when you will find him, and the day when he becomes your all, and you learn what you've never learned before. Without me, he said, he cannot do anything. Why? As he can do it all for you. She asked that about her, that there was someone coming, a Messiah. Thousands of Jews still believe it. In the Jewish quarter in London, one of our godly ministers, Whitechapel, he walked along with a rabbi one day, Sunday, he said. He met him in the room. And he said, do you really still believe that Jesus has never come and that he's the Messiah still to come? We do, he said. We don't want to hear his name as others speak it. He's not coming. That's very solemn, isn't it? Very solemn. And if they die with that veil over their heart, they'll never know Jesus. Only as the judge of all the earth. That this woman was to know him. And he led her by the right way to God's Spirit. Oh, I want just to speak of that Spirit. We cannot see it. We cannot behold it, and yet it has the sweet effects. You can see what it causes. And it's the Spirit of life. You want a living word, a living promise, a living Christ revealed, and a living heaven to go to. You see, it's so deep that it can satisfy a living child of God. Very wonderful, isn't it? And it is declared that they worship him, must worship him with this Spirit. And must worship him in truth. There are times. There are times. When you can put the crown of an easy. There's Sunday morning I was in Birmingham. There came that deacon there. Who in the night thought his life, my wife would not live to the morning. Godly woman, ready to go home, but he ventured to the house of God. And while we were speaking, I felt the Lord so precious. I had a desire while I was speaking that he would give out the hymn and crown him Lord of all. He did. He did give it out. And he asked me if I minded him giving it out. No, I said. Well, he said, Christ was made so precious that morning to me in the chapel that I felt I must give it up. There was the Spirit Nothing to do with either of us. Now, it wasn't anything sorted out first. It was given. And I had the desire, being in the spirit just then, to put the crown on his head. Ah, friend. And I do believe, without a shadow of unbelief, that we were in the Spirit and then we worshipped him in the Spirit and in truth. Wonderful favor. Man in deep tribulation. Not knowing how soon his partner in life might be taken. The godly one, then to be comforted by the Spirit. Don't you think for a moment, when he reached home, come see a man that have told me that all that ever I did, and is not this a Christ, he had something going with. Got to give it. Have you ever had anything to go home with? That's between God and your soul. Between the precious Christ. Have you ever had anything to go home with? Where you have had to put the crown on his head. And crown him Lord of all. Weigh it up. Why? Because there was a need to come to your soul. That's why, Matthew. He's told me all that ever I did. But there was an unmistakable revelation that he was the Christ. What a meeting. What a meeting. The Christ that provides heaven had met that dear woman and give her to now the way to heaven and give her to now her place would be there. They think there's nothing new. The gospel's the same. He don't fit the gospel to times, we do. At times vary, not two generations alike. And we're living in most solemn times now. Most solemn. Yet, it's the gospel's the same. And Christ is the same. And conviction of the Bible Spirit's the same. There's nothing altered. Now, it has an heavenly foundation. Even Jesus Christ. Well, the disciples come. And they thought he was satisfied. Before he partook of the meat, which they brought to him. He had no meat that any disciple could give him. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My friend, what a psalm, wasn't it? That he had given to redeem all the people of God. I shall come little lower. What is the meat of every true servant of God? To do the will of him that sent them. Yes. To do the will of him that sent them. When that work is finished, it comes to a close, he knows when to do it. You don't have to lean to one and another. Oh no. That's the secret. What will is it? Well, if they've had a sip of this water of life, they've got to take it to another to have a sip. Sometimes it's bitter water, and sometimes it's sweet, that you might have fellowship with him in his suffering. And if you suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And you know, the woman become a preacher. She told the man the Samaritan, and I came to see Jesus. And more than that, they wanted him to stay with them. And they besought him. Oh, my friends, what diligence. What diligence. I cannot do without the Lord. And so there was many believed on him. And all her text was, he told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? My friend. And there were others. We believe not because thou spoke the woman. We have heard him ourselves. And now, that is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That world within a world. That people within a people. Oh, my dear friend. Why, it's a river and we don't know where it will run to. And the streams of it will make glad the city of God. What's a grief to a child of God when they attended to the house of God? Perhaps two services, perhaps three, is when they've got nothing. When they've gone home as they've come in the morning or evening, it's a grief to them. Perhaps before the next Sunday or their opening for worship, they've gone with more diligence. Give me a word. Some have to wait a long time, and then it comes, and their souls are blessed. And what does that house become to them? The house of God. And what's the house of God? The house of a precious Christ. Though in all his weakness, he felt weak. He felt weary in the body he has taken, that he might comfort the weary ones. And yet the strength that poured forth called a woman out of into his marvelous life, and give her to now he was her Savior. May that be our favorite lot. It's more than notion. Something must be known and felt in it.